Bless you. You can be turning to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. Hello, Todd. Ma'am. Your brother Bruce said something about every message being the best. You know, my pastor is a pretty good preacher. And he, after every message I preach, he said, "That's the best message I've ever heard." And he said to me, I think it was the last time, he said, "I've never preached like that." Yeah, right. The point being, and Mindy and I have said this many times, we hope that if we get 80 or 90 years old, that the gospel will be just as sweet as it was when we first heard it. That's the way it is with them, and truly grown in grace. And he, though the Lord has used him mightily, and maybe not a better preacher anyway in the 20th century, yet he receives the word as a little child. As a little child. I hope I get like that. Thank you for everything you've done thus far. Thank you for the food last night, ladies. Everything was delicious. I thank you for it. You're a young preacher, anytime you preach, you want to do well. Especially at a conference. You know, you want to do well. You don't want to fall flat. You don't want to fall on your face. You know, Brother Scott once said, "I don't want to make a fool out of God." He said, "I don't want to make a fool out of myself." But I believe the older you get, the more you want to bring a message that will not only honor and exalt our Lord and exalt our Savior and point men to Christ, but to really help people. Really do not just do good, but do people some good. Edify the people. That's what I love about your pastor so much. I was reading this, and all messages, any message from God comes from His Word. That's the only way a preacher gets his message. There is no other message from God but from His Word, right? And I know these men, I know them well, and the way we get messages is simply by reading God's Word and asking Him to speak to us, don't we? And He speaks to us and gives us something that blesses us. And being men of like passion, same sinners like you, we something that blesses us, we know will bless the people. But I was reading through the book of James, and this verse really, really struck me. James chapter 4, and in studying it was such a blessing. James chapter 4, verse 8, just one line. James 4, verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He will. What a promise that is. Now, all that God is, all the goodness of God, all the fullness of God is ours, He says, if we're nigh unto Him. God is love. Draw nigh unto God. God is mercy. You need mercy? Draw nigh unto God. God is grace. God of all grace. God is salvation. Salvation's of the Lord, in the Lord, to be in the Lord, to be found in Him. He is our salvation. He is safety. Peace. You need peace? Draw nigh unto God. Joy. Contentment. Righteousness. happiness to be found in God, be found in Christ, be found with God, near to God, in Christ, is to find all these things. Peace, safety, assurance, freedom from fear. You need freedom from fear? Draw nigh unto God. Freedom from worry. You need assurance? Draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto God. All this is found nigh unto God. All right. I've got three words here. Three words. I've got a word to the lost. And in every congregation, there's always someone that does not know the Lord. It's not in God. Not in Christ. I've got a word to the lost. Draw nigh unto God. And He'll draw nigh unto you. I've got a word to the backslider. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. I've got a word to God's people, a word of comfort, a word of assurance. Draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. All right, a word to the lost. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Now, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, when our parents sinned from God, sinned against God, what's the first thing that they did? They ran from God, didn't they? They ran from God. They did not want to be in the presence of God. When man sinned in the garden, he lost three things, didn't he? He lost the knowledge of God. He lost the understanding of God. He lost the image of God. He lost communion with God. But who left who? Adam and Eve ran from God. Ran from the only source of love and peace and happiness and mercy and grace. They ran from God, didn't they? They ran from it. And ever since, man by nature wants nothing to do with God, does it? As I said last night, that's the reason this thing of coming to church and hearing the Word of God and worshiping God, that our flesh is so averse to that. Our children, man doesn't want anything to do with God. Doesn't want anything to do with God. God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. God is all these things. But yet man doesn't want anything to do with these things. And so he doesn't have any of these things. And he won't have any of these things. Afar off, running from God. Man does not like to retain God in his knowledge. The fool that said, no God, no God for me. I don't want a God. Now, how foolish is that? How foolish is it? How dangerous is it for a creature to reject his Creator? Huh? How foolish is it for the one in whose hand our breath is and all our ways to run from Him and want nothing to do with Him? You know, salvation is found in two words. But God. But God. And you. That were dead in trespasses in, hath He quickened, brought nigh unto Him. It's true that no man can come unto the Father except come unto Christ except the Father draw him. Doesn't the Scripture say, draw us and we'll run to you? Adam and Eve ran from God. But Christ came to them, didn't He? The Lord Jesus Christ came walking in the cool of the garden that day, didn't He? He came looking for them. Oh, how glad Adam and Eve were later on that the Lord Jesus Christ came looking for them. How about you? You were running. Aren't you glad that you can run, but you can't hide? Didn't David say that in Psalm 139? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where am I going to go? It's foolish to try to hide from God. The light and dark are alike to Him. Need to run to Him, don't you? Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Our Lord came to Adam and Eve and convicted them of their sin. I know Adam and Eve were saved. That's not presumption. But He saved me the same way He saved them. He came looking for them, found them, spoke to them, convicted. Adam, where art thou? Look where you are. Look what you've done. What did you do? Killed a lamb. Shed that lamb's blood, skinned that lamb and covered it. That's how He saved me. covered their nakedness, and told them the promise. Kicked them out of the garden, yes, but told them, left them with a promise. The woman's seed is coming. And that's what they lived on from that day forward, didn't they, Brooke? And surely told them about the blood. There's only one way to come to me, by the blood. That's where do you think Abel learned that? From Adam and Eve. You don't think the first sinner, that he's the chief of sinners. Adam's the chief of sinners. At the time, he's the only sinner. You don't think the chief of sinners, the Lord's not going to save him, do you? But the Lord came to them and brought them back. How can a sinner come nigh unto God? How can a sinner come nigh unto God? Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. It says that he giveth more grace. Verse 5, the Spirit, the Scripture doesn't say in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to end it. There's a battle going on. He giveth more grace, though. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. All right, first of all, draw nigh unto God in fear and humility. We draw nigh unto God in fear and humility. Look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Who does God dwell with? Who will God have into his presence? Who will God have come near unto him? Listen to the Scripture. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Didn't he say it? Listen to this. Isaiah 66. He said the same thing. He said, thus saith the Lord, the heavens my throne, the earth is my footstool. All these things have my hand made, but to this man will I look. He that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. We draw nigh unto God in fear and humility. We don't approach a holy God. We don't approach our Creator in presumption and carelessness, do we? Fear. And humility. How do you come nigh unto God? We come to him. And Paul said this to the Ephesians elder when he was leaving them. He said, I cease not to preach two things to you with tears. Repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. We always come to God in repentance toward him. Repentance toward God. When that prodigal came back, what's the first thing he said? I've sinned against heaven. David, I've sinned against thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. The Lord is bringing him back to himself. And then Paul said, repentance toward God and what? Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man comes to God except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the sacrifice of Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Scripture says, they shall all be taught of God. Every one of God's children are taught of God. And what do they do? What does God, a holy God, teach all of his children who are sinners? What does he teach them? To come to Christ. To come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll all be taught of God, and it'll all come one way. To come to a holy and offended God, you come one way. By the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One way. Oh, my. Adam, Eve, Abel, they were all taught one way, weren't they? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's all one way, only one way for all, and that's Christ. Christ is all. You remember the story, I love the story of Jacob being taught by his mother, Rebekah, in chapter 27 of Genesis. Remember that story? The eldest son was the one who had the right to the birthright, accepted by the father, whom the father loved. Isaac loved the eldest son, didn't he? Esau. And so Rebekah, who represents the Holy Spirit, well, go over there. Genesis 27. I'm afraid to turn. I thought I might get stuck. It'd be a good place to get stuck. There's only one way to come to the Father, and that's through the Son. Only way to come to God, and that's through Christ. Genesis 27, look at this. If you've never seen this, oh my. But Jacob wanted the blessing. Jacob wanted to be accepted by the Father. He wanted the blessing of the Father. And the blessing belonged to the eldest son, Esau. Okay? He owns the birthright. So that Rebekah, his mother, taught Jacob. There's only one way you can come to the Father. You've got to look like Esau. You've got to smell like Esau. You've got to feel like Esau. You've got to bring that savory meat that Esau always brings to the Father, that the Father loves, the Father demands. You've got to be Esau. You can't come to Him unless you're Esau. You're Jacob. He's Esau. All right, look at it. So his mother, what she did in verse 13. Oh, my. I'm going to get stuck right here, but that's all right. His mother said, "Upon me be thy curse, son. I'll do this." See, the Spirit of God's the one that does this, regenerates, makes us like Christ, puts us in Christ. Verse 14. He went and he fetched and brought these things to his mother, this savory meat. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, put them on Jacob her son, put the skins of the kids of goat upon his hand, upon his neck. She gave the savory meat and the bread into Jacob's hand. She fixed it just like she knew that the Father loved. And Jacob came to the Father, said, "My Father." Didn't Christ say there's only one way you can call Him your Father? Only one way you can call God your Father. Through me. I go to my Father and your Father. "Here am I," Jacob said. "Who art thou, my son?" How do we come to God? How do we come to God? Christ said, "In my name." If you ask the Father in my name, He'll hear you. He'll receive you. "Who are you, Jacob?" He didn't say, "Jacob, who are you, my son?" Jacob said, "I'm Esau, thy firstborn, the one with the right to the birthright. I'm your son." We come to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And look at this. Isaac said in verse 20, "How is it you found this so quickly, this savory meat? Where'd you get this meat? Where'd you get what I love? Where'd you get what I demand? Where'd you get this, my son?" God gave it to me. Verse 21, Isaac said, "Come near. I want to smell you. I want to feel you. Come near now." Oh, he's going to be found out. No. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses them from all unrighteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ covers. Come near. Come nigh. Draw nigh unto God. How? Only in Christ. Only by faith in Christ. And Jacob went near, verse 22, and his father felt him. He felt him. And he said, it's the works of my son Esau. Isn't that wonderful? You ever seen that before? I have, and it's still wonderful. Look at verse 25. He said, "Bring it near. Come near. Come near. Come a little closer." And he never was found out. And he accepted him, Brother Bruce, didn't he? And he blessed him. He said, "All that is belongs to the eldest son, the birthright, is yours, Jacob." That's the gospel. That's the gospel. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. Without the covering of Christ's righteousness, you can't draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto God. We draw nigh in fear, humility. We draw nigh in repentance against Thee, O Lord. If I say, "Have mercy upon me for Christ's sake." We draw nigh unto God through Christ our Lord, by faith in Him. We draw nigh unto God by calling on the Lord. He said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord," what? "Shall be saved." Someone says, I don't feel saved. Then you haven't called on the Lord. That's that promise here. It's a blessed promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. Call on Him in spirit and what? Truth. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call, the Lord of glory will hear every sinner that calls on Him in spirit from the heart and in truth. He'll hear them. He will save them. That's the blessed promise. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. This is a word to the law. This is a word to anyone. Draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ never spent an idle moment. Everything He did, every step He took, every moment of His life, every waking hour, and He slept very little, He ate very little, was spent in doing God's will. We were talking about this. He had 3 1/3 years to do an eternal work in. He said, there are 12 hours in the day. I must work while it's day. He said, I must work before the darkness comes. I must work the works of my Father. From a child, He was doing this work. He died doing this work, and He finished the work. He was always about the Father's business, always doing this work of salvation, okay? Never an idle moment. The God of glory. He was walking along in the direction of saving someone, of doing something. And one time, there was one person, an old blind beggar, sitting by the wayside, just hollered out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And this God of glory, this one with not a moment to spare, stopped. And said, somebody call me. Bring that man. Bring him near. Bring him right up here. Bring him up here. Will the God of glory, will God stop what He's doing for one sinner that calls on Him? Yes, He will. Every time. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. Isn't that good news? Good man. Call on the Lord. Oh, man. Call. Call. Go home. Call on the Lord. Call right now. No, don't wait. Do it right now. Right now. Here's a word to the backslider. Turn to Jeremiah 3 with me. Some men don't like to talk about backsliding. I heard a fellow say, well, that'll encourage people in their false profession. I know that false religion, you know, gives people that don't know the Lord that, you know, never come to worship. They give them an excuse to say, you know, they made a profession, they just backslid. I know that. But Scripture's just full of it, isn't it? And it's talking to Israel, anyway. Every time it's talking to Israel, it's talking to His people, which are a type of His true people. But doesn't the Scripture say, all we like sheep have gone astray? What's one of your favorite songs in our book? Is it not Come Thou Fount? Prone to wander. Isn't that your favorite verse? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that what we're prone to do? James just told us the Spirit, the Scriptures doesn't speak in vain. The Spirit that lusteth in us, that dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy, so that we cannot do the things that we would. What's our hope? Draw nigh unto God. Satan, sin, self, the world, flesh, the devil, all of these things tempt us and allure us. And you're lying if you say they don't have some, still have some pull on you, huh? Some appeal to you. You're lying about that. Our Lord said of His people, my people are bent to backslide, a perpetual backslide, didn't it? That's what Israel was doing constantly, weren't they? How about you? We fall to temptations. We end up afar off. We feel like we're far off, don't we? And I guess we are. Look at Jeremiah 3, verse 12. But our blessed God says this. Go, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. Say, return. Draw nigh unto God. Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. I am merciful, saith the Lord. I will not keep my anger forever. Return. Look at verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. What'd they say? We come unto thee. Thou art the Lord our God. Draw nigh unto God. You know, though we are His children, though a child of God is always His child, there's a union that cannot ever be broken. We're in Him, aren't we? We'll never be outside of Him like that ark. We're in that ark. You can't have one foot in the ark and one outside of it. You're either in the ark or you're not. We are in the ark. No such thing as being in Christ and outside of Christ. There's a union that cannot be broken, love that cannot be broken, yet we want somehow, some way, we wander off, don't we? We wander off. We forget God. Yes. Go a whoring, the Scripture said, don't we? Idolatry, covetousness. And the Scripture says, David said this, David was a man after God's own heart. David dwelt in close communion with his Lord, did he not? But David got in such a state at times, didn't he? He said, God's hiding Himself. He's a God that hides Himself. And he tried to pray, wouldn't he? Getting such a bad state, he tried to pray. He said, the heavens are brass. He's not listening to me. Right? Another time he said, are His mercies clean gone? You ever been there? Every one of God's people are there constantly. We feel afar off. We feel like we're lost again. Feel like we're undone. We feel like we're without hope, without God, without Christ. Draw nigh unto God. No matter how far off. And He'll draw nigh unto you. That's what He said. We get afar off, but here's the blessed promise. Our God's arm's not too short. Not too short. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. Draw nigh unto God. No matter how far off, no matter how what you've done or where you've gone or how long you've been away. And this can happen. David got in a bad way for a long time, didn't he? Not once, but several times. Got down in Ziklag, and you'd have never known he's a believer. Never known. We had a man years ago that was coming and married a gal, and he wanted out of that relationship. I warned him. Told him, well, make a long story short, he left. Was gone for a long time, one day I just had him on my mind, thinking about him. And I called him, and she left too. She was gone. And finally, I called him one day. I said, "Just had you on my mind, John, and I'd like to see you come back and worship with us." He said, "You don't know how long I've been waiting for a call like that." He said, "I've been wanting to come back so bad." I said, "Come on." Been there ever since, had him in there, and he nobody does any more for the church than he does. Nobody. Draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. God is not only able, but He's willing. The Scripture says He's a God ready to pardon. And you believe that God is more ready to pardon than you are to ask for it? Can you believe that? Brethren, He's not like us. You're going to have to serve some time. No, but come on, draw nigh. Draw nigh unto God. He's willing. He's able and He's willing. Draw nigh unto God. There was a man years and years ago, back in the old days, his son, like the prodigal, who left home, wasted his substance, riotous living, like that prodigal son. And wanted to come home, wanted to be restored back to fellowship with his parents, with his dad and his mom. He hadn't been in touch with them for years. And he wanted to come home, so he called home. He called them, and there's no answer. And he left a message somehow and said, "I'm coming in on the noon train. Tomorrow on the noon train. And I'm coming home. This is John. If you'll have me," He said, if you'll have me, when I get to the house, put a white towel on the clothesline. Back when we had clotheslines. Put a white towel on the clothesline. And that means you'll have me home. If not, I'll just turn around and go back. So he came in the next day on the noon train. And he walked down that country road to his house. And he looked. And there was a white towel on that line. And white sheets. And white pillowcases. And white underwear. And white washcloth. Everything in the house that was white was hanging on that clothesline. Welcome home, son. Welcome home. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. He hadn't moved. He doesn't change, does he? He doesn't change. He will abundantly, the scripture says, turn. He says he will abundantly pardon. What did the prodigal, when the prodigal son started heading back to the father, what did the father do? He ran. Draw nigh unto God. What does he do? Run to you. And what did he do? Fell on his neck. And kissed him. Bring the fatted calf, the best robe. All the goodness of God. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Now here's a word for God's people. I close. A word of exhortation to a close communion with our Lord. You know, salvation is a sinner being brought into a relationship with God. That's what salvation is. Sinner being brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A union. It's a husband and his wife. That's what it is. It's like a marriage. Being brought nigh in close communion with the Lord. And walk, like Enoch walked with God, didn't he? Noah walked with God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Friend of God. And to be his friend is to have peace, joy, contentment, assurance, safety. Draw nigh unto God. There's safety. There's courage. I had an old dog. And as long as that dog was by my side, he was okay. You know that? As long as he was by my side, he was okay. But he started chasing rabbits. And he got in trouble. He got in trouble every time. One time, he ran off chasing a deer. We lived on a little farm, and he ran off chasing a deer. And somebody picked him up. Somebody got him, Mike, and took him home with him. And I went searching for him. And I put out a reward for him. Just an old dog. He wasn't worth the reward, but he was my dog. And I put out a reward. I'd have paid just about anything to get him back. And, buddy, I found him. I paid the reward. I paid the price. That's a good illustration. I paid the price. Christ paid our redemption. Brought us out of captivity. We ran off, and he brought us back, didn't he? And, buddy, from that day forward, he's just scared to death to leave the farm. Draw nigh unto God. A word of exhortation to stay close. But how do you draw nigh unto God? How does a believer stay close to our Lord? Talk to him. Prayer. Communion with our Lord. Communion with our Lord. Men like Noah and Abraham, David, Daniel, you know, were they better men than us? No, sinners, saved by grace. Had the same word that we had, same promises that we had, same God, saved the same way, blood and righteousness, right? Why were they so close to the Lord? Why did they have such peace and such, apparently, always calling on the Lord? Daniel, we know that soul, Daniel, don't we? Calling on the Lord, didn't he? You know, even in our own relationship amongst ourselves, if there's no communication between us, there's no closeness, is there? There's no closeness. There's no nearness. There's no understanding of one another. If there's no close communion, there's no understanding. There's no constant communion. You don't feel near to that person, do you? Draw nigh unto God. You'll draw nigh unto you. You know, you call on somebody. You ever call on somebody and they won't call you back? Huh? What do you think? And you keep calling on, keep having them over for dinner, and having them over for dinner, and they never call you. What do you think? They don't want my company. They don't want my company. Ah, boy. I'll tell you what. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. The opposite of all those things is afar off from God. No peace, no assurance, no comfort, no joy, no content. He's not going to let you. Not going to let you. Is it? No relationship there. If we spend more time talking to men than we do our Lord, no wonder we don't have any assurance. We spend more time listening to men than our Lord, seeking His word from Him. It's no wonder we don't have any peace and contentment and joy, and full of doubts and fears and trouble. Nigh unto God is all these things. Nigh unto God. Company of the world. God's jealous. We were talking about that. God's jealous. What if your husband or wife spent more time with other people than they did you? Huh? Draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto them. Where is God? Where is God? I'll tell you where He's at. God loveth the dwellings of Jacob, Zion, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. There's a place, a city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. You're right here, aren't you? In the church of God, in the house of God. That's where God has promised to be every time. Every time. Draw nigh unto God. God is where His word is preached. God is where the Holy Spirit is present through the preaching of the gospel. That's where you'll find it. Every time. Draw nigh unto God. Is it not true? God is found in His word. And God is pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Even believers. Like one of our brethren said, I get saved every time I hear the gospel. But it's so, isn't it? Do you not get more out of God's word? Do you not feel even a closer communion with the Lord when you're amongst His people hearing the word of God? Do you not? You can read the word of God in private, but you don't get out of it what when God blesses a man to stand up here and preach, and the Holy Spirit is present, and God's people like a flock, and the shepherd's there. You don't. He's there. That's why He's promised to be there. Draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto you. Oh, my. Draw nigh unto God. God is in the tabernacle of His people. God is where His people is found. God is where His people worship Him, where Christ is lifted up, the communion of His body and His blood, fellowship of His people. That's where the Lord is found. A blessed promise. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh. May the Lord bless that.